Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Make it make sense.
With Ayanda Nyati.
Okay, it is that time of the day. It is a Monday, and we've got Make It Make Sense, presented by the one and only Ayanda Nyati. When last did I hear of a serial killer?
Yeah.
In South Africa.
Moses Sichole, I think.
Yeah.
Moses Sichole, back in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it would seem there's something is happening in Pretoria, and I'm sure Ayanda will expand more on that.
It's a bit of a sobering discussion, actually, especially when you consider, Gutsi, we live in a country where at any moment now, or at any moment, I should say, you hear of somebody going missing. Mm. So there's been what seems to have been a pattern with four women being found dead in Pretoria in the last 2 months. All of them were burnt beyond recognition. Yes. And that's raised questions about whether or not we have a serial killer on the loose. But how do you know that? You know, how do we tell if these are deaths or murders that are connected or in fact just random, murders taking place around the same time? And so that's the kind of discussion we're hoping to have today. And as always, we have an expert joining us to try to break these things down. Pierre Geldenaes is the head of forensic investigations at DNK Management Consultants and joins us now via our telephone line. Pierre, good afternoon. Welcome to Drive 959.
Afternoon.
Great to have you on. You know, in the past 2 months, as we've said, there's these bodies, harrowing discoveries that have been found of four women who are burnt beyond recognition in different areas of Pretoria. And I suppose the first question is, what are some of the telltale signs that investigators would look out for if, in fact, they were working with somebody like a serial killer?
Well, look, if you, like you mentioned it now, you know, we live in a day and age where at any given time, any person that happens on a daily basis just goes missing, never comes home. And, you know, it's regarded as suspicious, the person is reported as missing. But when the body turns up and it's found in a very particular way, and it happens for a second time, it happens for a third time, it happens for a fourth time, you have to start questioning. There's a repetitive nature here. The bodies are found in a similar way. They are found not very far from each other. I'm saying the one is not found in Cape Town, one is not found in Durban, they're all in the same area. And then, you know, once you consider the time apart where these bodies are being found and the manner they're being found, you have to consider the possibility of a serial killer.
Sure. And is there any way of kind of being able to preempt what might happen next, given the fact that there's this kind of pattern? I know there are some media reports, for example, suggesting that more bodies could be found in Pretoria.
Well, that's always the possibility, and I've been wondering myself, you know, this is also one of those scenarios where we would have to start watching out for copycat killers. You know, if someone gets a news article or something on the news, they see this is happening, they might decide to join in and try to hide it under the media as just another killing from the Pretoria serial killer. And that's a concern. And I hope we as the, well, them as the South African police force and their investigation team could catch on swiftly as to what's going on. I think there has been some progress, at least, and hopefully they could solve the case quite urgently before anything else happens.
Yeah, and that was going to be my next question. You know, typically you kind of wait for the serial killer to slip up, right? But by then the damage has already been done. You know, how do police and investigators perhaps that you've worked with typically try to prevent that from happening? In other words, catching them before their next strike.
Well, it's very difficult to do that. You know, I said it before, and I'll say it again. Unfortunately, we don't have the WhatsApp number of the killer, you know, or a cell phone that we can reach him on and, you know, have a cup of coffee and talk to him to say, listen, when are you going to do it again? It's very difficult to know when it's going to happen. If it's going to happen, we don't have a suspect per se that you can link to all of them and positively say, okay, we've caught the perpetrator. We would have to work the case to such a degree where we have every resource available that we can allocate to the case, have it allocated and spend no expense in terms of, you know, time wasted, allocate all the resources we can, and hopefully we get some achievement.
Yeah, because as you say, we don't have the WhatsApp number for the serial killer. I suppose it's also really difficult to kind of give people advice about how to, you know, steer clear of this person's path if, in fact, that is what's happening. So what do you say to, you know, women who are concerned, understandably, in trying to make sure that they're not the next victim?
I like your question. I don't think it's only women. In this case, yes, all of the bodies that have been found are female, and that's unfortunate. But as women, as South African citizens, whether you're male or female, we have to start arming ourselves. We have to start, one, just being aware of what is going on around you. If you can, don't travel alone at night. But I think it is crucial, not just in Pretoria, but in anywhere in this country, whether you are male, whether you are female, whether you are young or old, and it doesn't matter where you live, we as South Africans have to start standing up and arming ourselves with legal firearms, get a license and defend yourself and go through tactical training, go through security training, go for courses and make sure that, you know, you at least a woman has a firearm with her that she can, you know, defend herself in a situation where her life is put at risk.
Sure.
And, you know, on the past weekend, we had Women's Day. And, I think it's critical that every single person, but not only women, arm themselves legally and defend ourselves against people like this.
Sure, I hear that, Pierre. You know, but what's your response to other commentators who are very quick to point out that if anybody were to be killed, there's a higher chance that they die at their own gun? Apparently, there's studies that suggest that.
Yeah, look, there's studies that are going to suggest many things. Studies are going to suggest that certain medicines are bad for you. But at the end of the day, would you rather be armed and have at most training available to you, or would you rather, you know, be out in the public with no way to defend yourself and be at the mercy of a killer, or be at the mercy of someone who's going to commit a crime and you know, do things to you that is not consensual? I think even if, you know, anything can go wrong at any point, driving the safest car out on the road doesn't guarantee you're not going to die in it. I think it just gives you a slight advantage in that situation, because a perpetrator would not necessarily expect a female walking alone at night to be armed, and that's why I think they might take the chance, they might take the risk. And if many of us can catch those people off guard, then we have the upper hand.
Sure. All right, Pierre Geldenhuys, thanks for giving us your take. I know this is usually a very contentious issue, you know, the concept of just militarizing society and whether or not that really is an appropriate response to violence. But I suppose we'll put it out there. People will have their say. Pierre Geldenhuys is the head of forensic investigations at DNK Management Consultants. Once again, thanks very much indeed.
So, you know, I mean, like you were saying to him, you know, what advice can you give to females or any other citizen?
Mm.
My concern right now is that, okay, what is the modus operandi, you know, that he uses if there's a serial killer to lure those women? You know, are they being offered jobs?
Right.
Are these people who go out on a date, do you know, or this person drugs them?
Yeah, it's a bit difficult to tell. And, you know, Pierre, to be fair, is not involved in the investigations of this case. He just generally watches or follows these kind of developments. And, you know, unlike, I suppose, other types of crimes where the victims are able to speak out, sadly, in a situation
there's
no one who can actually tell us what happened, what were those final moments. And I suppose police have to kind of work backwards. You know, where were the bodies found? In what state? Are these women of the same age, typically? And what can they glean from their last interactions when they were alive? So
I mean yourself, I think the best advice is to tell people just to be careful.
You know,
don't just hook up with strangers until maybe this so-called serial killer is found.
And it brings about today's question: what crime in your neighborhood are you guys grappling with currently? Because there's so many things that are happening in our near surroundings that is always, they are always taunting us. You are always worried about them. Maybe you live in an area where housebreaking is on the rise. Maybe you live in an area where they are discovering bodies like this, you know? So maybe let us know. 063-688-0959. Send us your voice notes. You can also give us a call on 086-000-0959. What crimes are you currently grappling with in your own community?
Yeah, I'm not dealing with any crime so far.
Do you know what crime
I'm in my neighborhood?
The one that's worrying me, and it's a growing trend. It's the Nyaupe related crimes in the hood. And they get so brutal from a point of when they do capture a person using Yaope or a drug addict. You know, mob justice sometimes feels like the answer to a community that's under pressure, a community that's grappling with, you know, a heightened petty crimes in the neighborhood. And I think that's really a huge thing. I think it really, really is a marking of drug-related crimes in the hood. And that's really, really concerning because it makes everybody feel unsafe and always invaded in some way or the other.
On that note.
Yo, guys, this crime thing, for us, Nina Langshala Kona, they steal your piping system, Gapande. You would find taps gone, you would find Igiza tempered with, because those boys, they sell the copper for drugs or whatever that they're doing. But now, most of us have opted to use plastic pipes for plumbing.
I mean, e-hailing driver based in Joburg, the crime that is highlighted is the killings, the hijackings. They are so serious that tomorrow we've got a meeting. Sibizwanga mapolisa sesishiphi police station. They just came to us parked, waiting for trips. Basicela, but please attend to this meeting. We must make a plan how to catch these guys, because almost every day there's a dead body, e-hailing driver. This morning, there's a guy was killed. Was requesting from a Hilbro to GP, Julie's side. Before they got, they were shot. So this is what is serious in our area.
You know, one thing that I actually do not like about e-hailing Ubers and stuff is when they changed from using your credit card to cash. I think cash is so dangerous, guys. Because anyone can make that call. You know, because but if you're using your credit card, you know, if you make that call, you're going to lose your money. But the fact that now a driver has to come pick you up, they expect payment from you. Obviously, these guys will take full advantage.
Yeah, and the credit card and banking system tie you down.
Yes,
to the trip.
Mm.
Unless you are also kidnapped.
Yeah,
you are the one that's called that service.
Sure.
The crime that is the housebreaking, the hijacking, foot hijacking tops it all. And bayakbulala. We've heard of people who gave you the things bayakbulala. Angaz bakat to identify or not. Ne housebreaking angen umuntu abulale. Like one thing I will never understand is the crime where you have to kill when you've got what you wanted. Why are you killing? But yeah, itembisa wona shem. You drive at your own risk. Mongena nge ivory footy tracker iyakfone lubuzu kuthi ufuna ni lapho.
So in New Brighton, Port Elizabeth, the crime that's actually roaming around now or famous is the killing of lesbians. Like every other weekend, you find a lesbian being raped, killed, and the head is cut off the body. It's similar crimes. So, yeah, that's bad. That's bad. That's the actual one that's famous in our area at this point.
Crime that is bothering me in my area, it's a cable theft, man. Every other week. I even feel sorry for the municipality because they actually come and replace the cable the day after. If it happens last night, today they are there, they are fixing it. But hey, this crime is killing us, man. I don't even want to mention the nationality of the people because we've encountered them before. But hey, they are really killing us out here. Hey, it's bad. It's somewhere here in my Hem Raceway. If you know my Hem Raceway in Pretoria, I live around there in one of the complex. Hey.
Yeah. Well, I always say, you know, there's just too much loitering. The authorities would rather stop cars rather than stop people
who are just wandering around.
And there's so many of them that you see wandering around. But they'll be chasing these expensive cars.
Humutso touched on Indaba in Yaup and on how they will discipline the law in Yaup. But we know very well who's selling in Yaup.
Absolutely.
We know very well who's selling Nyaupe, who's selling drugs, Agassi, Lendon and Selema Conin that look black right now. We know exactly where they buy this thing.
Yeah.
But how many of us are willing to stand up and go to Katlen and face it? Lendon and Zayuk Teng Sama drugs are wrong. Is that how we are Vala or Siak Valis?
Over discipline, the same way you are disciplining these kids that are now sick. Because by if you are an addict, you are classified as a person who's ill.
Exactly. But we know who's a supplier.
But you would rather discipline the person who is dealing with an addiction problem as opposed to the person who's making sure that they stay addicted.
I know of a guy, the water was just all over the yard.
Sure.
Azanga Lando, Walanda Luteng Sinya, what was Tanga Limpumpum
Fanam? Good.
Because we know who's the real problem, but we always tend to go the other route. And turn a blind eye. See wrong footage.
Share your voice note now.
063-688-0959. Crime that is concerning me in our area, the killing of kids, Baba Tumselegu, Paipile Traini, and the killing of Wongumuntu. Recently, you find a man being killed without any reason, like Bam Tampele somewhere, like the killing in our neighborhoods. Masowete, please, man, it's enough.
Aye, Tinabafana Impomp in Upper Whiteville, abadlali nazo. Pumping up a white veil. This is a person. Abai shaba ibegelele. This is a plastic. Of who exenus and at him food yanet are gonna die. Kula inzi.
I must agree, Nopia. As females, we are hopeless at defending ourselves. So even if it's a basic self-defense, whether you pepper spray, a knife, a gun, something, but we can't just leave ourselves to be helpless and hope that we'll get away without actually taking that into our own hands. So I really, really must agree with him.
Those things are expensive. These people don't understand. So that crime lay or manje your suspicions healing to another mapai skill. But manje la bunya upe la baseba vigangalin to another mapai skill. Yeah, leo skuma fe to light him.
Make it make sense.
With Ayanda Nyati. If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.